We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the healing phase of the aftermath. Took me about a day and a half to cancel my flights to Kansas City. I still have the flights to New Orleans. I swear to God, I haven't canceled those yet and brought myself to do it. I am going to bring myself to having crab cakes again. We're going to fire up the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, also known as a Cup of Super Bowl. I'll have details later in the week. I didn't go fully forth because I thought we might be going to New Orleans and Kansas City. Now that we are not, we are going to be doing some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs with Magic 8-Balls that may say, next year will be better. I don't know, but we'll start things at Costas a week from Monday. We'll also be at Coco's. We're going to be at State Fair. We're going to be at Fadley's. The whole schedule will be out. I'm looking forward to doing that. Big appreciation to our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as Jiffy Lube and everybody else that puts us out on the road and powers up this engine, including Liberty Pure Solutions. Luke Jones has been powered up. Dude, I gave you a chance to go to Buffalo. I offered to go and sit in the cold. We didn't go. Part of it was like, let's play total, like, let's not go kayfabe. Part of it was like, you're like, well, if they lose, I'll be there to clean the lockers out on Monday because driving up, driving back, snowstorms, flying up, flying back. When are we doing radio if we're taking a 6 a.m. flight? Because, like, doing the radio is what we do. It's a holiday on Monday. So we had all of these issues, right? And we're like, nah, eggs in the basket. We're going to Kansas City and then I'll end up, but we're not going to New Orleans, I said, right? And then I changed my mind. I'm like, nah, let's go to New Orleans. So then I booked a flight to New Orleans, and of course, they pooped the bed in Buffalo the other night, whatever. But it has been an interesting sort of 72 hours all the way around. If you want to read about my Mark Andrews stuff, you can read about it. Luke, you talked about it at length. You were at the lockers on Monday. I haven't been to a locker clean out in maybe since Ted Marchabrota. I'm lying, but I mean, it's been a long, 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 long time since I've been out there on that day. There is something about maybe reporters not being able to get there because of the transfer of sometimes you get eliminated in different, all sorts of different places. Get vibe me out on everything because I've heard every direction on, like, first things first. I like Mark Andrews, as I wrote. I'm not a hater. I'm not, I just, and I'm also a journalist, and I hold people accountable. So all of that, and I don't need to know why he fought, or like how, like, it's Jackie Smith. It's terrible, and I'm sure he has mental anguish. I'm like, and I'm not even belittling that because of his salary, but I think for all of it, there is this air coming out of the tire that we all need to decompress a little bit off of. You and me think we were having barbecue this week, and me still literally having flights to New Orleans on my app 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's frustrating. To go back to your point about Buffalo, I mean, the reason why is I knew it was going to be, let me look at my app right now as you and
18.
I talk. It's 3 degrees at my house at the moment as we're chatting in real
Real
time.
degrees?
Yeah.
No wonder I'm cold.
Well, you remember, I'm up here in Southern York County. Stays a little bit colder,
Hold on, I got to
but
get my phone, find out now. It must be 6 where I am
I
anyway.
bet you it's not much warmer where you are. But
Well,
look, I mean, locker cleanout day is always, I mean, and I speak through the lens of having covered the Ravens from 2000 full time 2011. My first locker cleanout was the day after Billy Cundiff and Lee Evans, and to the modern day. I mean, there haven't been that many years in there where they didn't make the playoffs, right? I mean, 2013, 2015, 2016, 2017, and then 2021, which that was in COVID, midst of COVID, so there was no locker clean out. It was virtual. So don't have a lot of experience to draw off of teams that didn't make the playoffs or teams that were just flat out bad. So what you're looking at are teams that were eliminated and teams that had varying degrees of Super Bowl aspirations, and suddenly it's over. We always talk about how abrupt it is. I mean, we talked about that with the Orioles back in early October when they have a bad 24 hours, 27 hours against the Royals, and it's over just like that. Football's even worse because it's single elimination. So you have the disappointment of it. I would also say, and I don't know if this necessarily makes fans feel any better, but there's also a reminder that this is business for these guys. This is their job. These guys all wanted to win. They all wanted to get to the Super Bowl. They all put in so much work. And at the end of the day, as much as you and I think about being invested as media that cover the team and talk about the team throughout the year, fans put their disposable income into it, all of it. No one invests more than those guys, right? Especially the coaches. But the players, you think about what they do over the course of specifically OTAs through the end of the season.
By the way, that is an interesting juxtaposition you just gave me that you called me a media guy. No, I used to be, and I experienced it. Now I don't. So some of these guys, I don't know them. I don't feel the same way. I
But
don't
I mean, we talk.
experience them in the so now I'm more like a fan where it's just give me mine, right? Like just and take a piece of them, and I'm going to sit on the bar stool and be a jackass. And that's not who we've ever been. And part of that is being on the other end of the humanity of seeing Ray Lewis crying in a training room in 2007 when he did not come out and deal with the media, and seeing Ed Reed talk about retirement at his locker and being up on it, as opposed to seeing it on TV, as opposed to not caring about it at all, or as opposed to I lost a bet because of you, which is the more modern parlance of what I see, you know, out in the world. How does it affect my app and my money on my like what that's what the league wants to some degree more than you broke the heart of my hometown, which is the direction this thing is going in. I would just say this, the humanity of all of this is never lost on me or this media entity to say that how hard these guys try. And I'm always humored by when fans think they take it harder than the players do, because the player goes back to a $3.8 million mansion in Orlando and a gated community. Like I get like that is the reality of it. The reality of it is Mark Andrews is a big, big winner in life, and this is a tough week for him, and in a tough week for everybody out there. No matter how much money you have, no matter who you are, you know, you thought you were getting a ring, or you had that. We thought we had plans to go to New Orleans. So did the whole building. You know, so did everybody, right? So there's being respectful of them doing it 24 hours a day, and where the fans lie in that. And I don't know in the modern world what they really owe the fans, or what even what they think they owe the fans. Above and beyond just coming out to the podium and taking a couple of questions from Jameson in the middle. But like, I don't really know other than fans want some sort of answers and accountability that they're certainly not going to get. I mean, Bisciotti's not coming forward. Nobody's going to throw Mark Andrews under the bus, or like, what? I just, none of that's going to happen here. I mean, we know, and I don't expect any, I don't want any of that to happen. But the healing part of this, it doesn't happen by Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. It just doesn't, man.
It doesn't, but I guess the point I was trying to make is what you see in the post-game locker room after a loss, and as you acknowledged, not being there Sunday night, but having been there last year after the AFC title game loss, the 2019 playoff loss to Tennessee, and go down the list of this era and previous eras. I guess the point I was trying to make for locker cleanout day, yeah, there's still a disappointment in the air, but these guys also. It's vacation time now for them. They've been on the grind. Other than the bye week, they've been on the grind almost every single day since mid-July. So I think guys are still disappointed, but they're not inconsolable on locker cleanout day. There's smiles, there's laughs, there're guys that are signing things for each other. You see guys taking helmets home. You see guys taking jerseys home. And I guess the point I was trying to make is. Well, they're not over at 100%, and these guys are. We'll get into the off season and Sunday when Kansas City's playing Buffalo, and when the NFC title game's taking place, they'll be thinking about it. They'll be thinking about it when the two winning teams convene in New Orleans in a few weeks for the Super Bowl. But life goes on, and these guys have their own lives. And to your point, they're compensated handsomely. Even guys that are making the minimum are making way more than most of us will ever make. In a single year. So there is a sense of, all right, well, disappointed we lost, but life does slow down a little bit now. And I can go somewhere warm and get out of bitter cold Baltimore for.
Well, the Ray Lewis 24-hour rule that he and
Yeah.
I, you know, I should ask Ray, who's like, or even Marvin probably would know, or any of the guys of that era, where the genesis of where Ray used that all the time. 24-hour rule, would be real happy for 24, like, and he used to bring that to the barn with me back in 96,
Yeah.
97. So it maybe it was a Miami thing. I don't know, like where it came from. But three decades later, there's a 24-hour rule, and there's also the reality of the off season, which you and I get to, and even took in on Monday, which is contracts, who's staying, who's going, where the veterans are, where's the salary cap, who's committed, who's not committed. But the ouch and the sting of all of this, I have found in my experience of 33 years of doing this semi-professionally, that the sting for the fans goes on longer than the sting for the players, in a general sense of whoever's going to Cancun this week, and whatever, jokes you made about Mike Tomlin last weekend with golf clubs and whatever else, the sting of it is when you run into Harbaugh in Indianapolis 5 weeks later, he looks at you and me and says, we shouldn't have lost that game, right? If we were there, we're not going to be there. We used to be there, but we've experienced that too, that they replay this ish in their minds. And for a guy who's had his own mental anguish in his life, I hope Mark Andrews heals. If there's anything I could say here, I hope that it's not a Donnie Moore crazy. I hope that whatever his piece is at this point, that he goes and finds it, because, man to man, no matter whether you stand up, do the press conference, not teammates, whatever, drop the ball, and you didn't want to drop the ball, and you got to live with it. Everybody's got to live with it.
Well, I mean, when you think about the individual, and look, I said my piece about this after the game. My general rule of thumb for speaking to the media is when you have a performance that warrants your teammates being asked about it, good or bad, quite frankly, you should talk. You shouldn't put it all on your teammates. That said, I think for any of us, when we think about things that we're good at, whether it's our job, whether it's something we do, that goes beyond work life, but it's something that's still important to you, whether it's something you do recreationally or something you're involved in the community, something you take pride in, right? I mean, I think any of these NFL players at this point, even if they don't love football, and you and I have encountered players, some players love the game more than others, but they all are invested enough that they've gotten to that point because you don't get to the NFL, you don't stay in the NFL, let's say, purely on your talents, right? But think about it through the lens of something that you really care about, something that you've accomplished or been accomplished doing, and then you have the worst possible moment on nearly the worst, nearly the biggest stage you can find. I mean, it's not the AFC Championship game like Lee Evans or Billy Cundiff. It's not the Super Bowl, but divisional round with a team that had Super Bowl aspirations. Pretty darn high in terms of, the intensity that the spotlight and all of that. So to fail and to fail twice in the way that he did in the fourth quarter, I mean, I do have empathy for that, regardless of media coverage or talking to reporters or not talking to reporters or any of that. That's tough. At the same time, it's also what these guys sign up for. And for every opportunity that you have to be the hero, to be the one that's going to be in the spotlight, to be the one who's going to shout, "I'm going to Disney World" after you win the Super Bowl. I mean, it's, there's the other side of it where there is a GOAT, and no, we don't mean the GOAT, greatest of all time, like we talk about in the modern era.
Dude, the thrill of victory,
The
the
agony of
agony of
defeat.
defeat,
So
right?
I think for the rest of the players, 24 hours later, and look, I think the 24-hour rule is just one of those things that's just talked about in sports and, in football specifically. With it being a once a week proposition, that it just kind of evolves over time because you can't dwell on it because you do have to move on to the next game. But when you get to the last game, and there's the 24-hour rule, but sure, it's going to linger in these guys' minds and they disperse. And I think one of the big talking points with locker cleanout day is you have guys in there who probably aren't going to see each other again. Or if they do, it's going to be very rare, right? I mean, you hear it every year. A team is never going to be together again exactly with the same exact composition in terms of players, in terms of coaches, staffers, all of that. This roster, I don't expect it to change drastically, but there will be changes. There are every offseason, whether you love your roster or whether you don't love your roster. So there's some of that at work. So there is a, there's a last day of school vibe to it where, I mean, literally guys are cleaning out their lockers, or they're having some of the equipment guys help them out and stuff, and
And there are
guys.
people in there who absolutely know they're leaving for the last time.
No question. I mean, I looked at Brandon Stevens.
And
You know, I
maybe
didn't.
even leaving the sport, like literally exiting Brent Urban. As you know, I'm thinking some guys that are like, this might be the end for them. And that unto itself is, walk on eggshells. You know what I'm saying? Like, just in a general sense of the emotions, not just of losing and going out and whatever. I mean, having spent so much time around these athletes, it is amazing to me how people would think that I am the unrefined, hostile, insensitive guy. Like, it's that would be insane. I understand it better than you do. You know what I mean? Having done this for a billion years. But fans don't really know that part of it. You know what I mean? They know the glory, and I think even it's even shined up more by Ravens.com, where they only show the contract signing when they come in, and here's the pay. They don't show literally the trash bag that's there most of the time to clean out their stuff. Literally, big leaf bag, big hefty bag.
It's one thing to talk about veteran players, whether you're talking about Brent Urban. I mean, Michael Pierce is under contract for another year, but I also know, having talked to him even a couple years ago, that even at that point he was pondering how much longer he's going to play. So if you're someone like Michael Pierce, who is on the wrong side of 30, played well this year but had an injury, weight has always been a
Dude,
challenge
I
for
looked at
him.
him the other day and he just does not look like a healthy man. But what do I know?
Well, I mean,
What do
I don't
I
want to
just
go
look
down
at
that
it.
route
No, I
road,
just
but
like sort of the body style that he has stands out as something that you don't see much in the league anymore in that position. You know what I mean? Like, I just,
but my right, but my point with that, and I was just using him as an example. Same applies for a guy that might be in his third year. That's the 52nd player on the roster. One, is he going to be back with the Ravens? Two, is he going to be anywhere else? Is he going to be playing in the UFL? Is he going to be playing in Canada in a couple years? Is he going to play ever again? I mean, there have been guys like that. I've covered guys who played in the league for the Ravens, whether it was a training camp and a year on the practice squad or something like that, and then you never hear from them again. I
dude,
mean, there's
Tony
all of
Jefferson
that.
was on the field 2 weeks ago.
Right.
How
And then
about
there's
that,
Tony. Tony Jefferson was in the press box, watching the AFC title game last year, and was playing in the wild card round a year later. So you never know. But yeah, there's that side of it too, where it's not just about losing to Buffalo. It's what's next for my career. So, I'm not trying to over dramatize it here. Guys aren't walking around weepy the next day. Sometimes you'll see that after the game immediately, but the next day it's subdued. There's still disappointment. I mean, Patrick McCary is going to be a free agent. He's grown up as a Raven. I mean, he went from being a undrafted free agent that filled in for Matt Skura on the 2019 team and has played all five offensive line positions.
by the way, they're
I mean,
always my favorite Ravens. Like, over the course of the history, starting with Mike Flynn all the way through, whether it's Ricard, these guys that hang around a while, you know what I mean? Kelly Gregg, you know what I mean? Guys that hung around a little while, Jared Johnson, guys that you just don't, they're here, Levine, the guys were here forever. And they're, their name's not going on the wall or whatever. But I remember McCary specifically filling in that game out at LA at the LA Memorial Coliseum. He sort of like debuted and got, made a little name for himself in that period of time. And I think all these years later, we don't bring his name up as part of the disappointments with Stanley and Humphrey and the other guys. But, he's been here like Ricard, one of those furniture guys. Brent Urban's been in and out three or four times, right? So, some of these guys that they fall in love with that stick around, I'd be more likely to think he'd be back, right? Because he's one of their guys,
Who,
I think.
McCary? I think the for me, In what capacity? Are you looking at him to be your starting left guard again? Probably not. I think
So
ideally.
somebody else is going to pay him?
Well, I mean, and that's my big question. Is someone else going to pay him, or do you still value him in the role that he had been in the previous 3, 4 years, which is your sixth offensive lineman who, knowing most years, this year being the exception, but most years, your sixth offensive lineman is probably going to start 4 or 5 games over the course of the year and is going to fill in for someone who gets hurt in the midst of a game a couple times, and he can play all five positions on the offensive line. So I think they absolutely would love to have him back. I think he would like to be back, but at what cost? And is another team looking at what he did as a guard or remembering what he did as a tackle the last couple years and saying, hey, we have a need. We don't have the draft capital to go get the offensive lineman we need. Maybe we can pay this guy X amount of money that will be a little bit more than the Ravens are willing to pay. I mean, we see that all the time. Or he could be back. I think all things being equal, he'd love to be back. I mean, he knows that the Ravens, and more specifically the late Joe Dallasandres, but this organization helped make him into a legitimate NFL player who has had staying power and has made a little bit of money, still life-changing money, even if it's not lucrative in NFL terms.
But
So,
there's been a long history of that here, though. I
yeah.
mean, growing those kinds of guys in this
Well, I mean,
organization, because the organization remains. Steelers could say the same thing, a couple of
yeah,
other
any org.
organizations, but most places it's in and out, because the foundational pieces go in and out. So guys like him get swallowed up. They don't wind up sticking around.
Well, I think it just depends on the organization. I think organizations that, generally speaking, are not good in terms of drafting or developing. No, you won't find those guys. But the best organizations, the ones that sustain success over time, they value those players. I think, even a team like the Rams, who went how many years in a row without having a first round pick, and go look at their roster. They still drafted well mid to late rounds and developed guys. I mean, you'll find guys on their roster that were undrafted or sixth round picks, things like that. I mean, again, any organization worth its salt has to have some of that. Otherwise, your roster turnover and churn is just outrageous every year, and you're way up against the cap, and you're probably not very good, and you're probably picking a new head coach and GM every 2 or 3 years. So, and we're seeing that right now as I kind of laugh at some of these teams that feels like they're interviewing every head coaching candidate they're under the sun at this point. But
Well, hey, the Ravens might have a different offensive coordinator by the
they
end of the
could.
week, right?
They
Like, I
could.
mean, look what happened to the Lions. It's over for them, right? So the
Yeah.
names are coming off the board a little bit. I mean, Monken's not getting the Bears job.
Yeah. I mean, if you're asking me to yes or no, is Todd Monken going to get hired elsewhere? My gut tells me no. But I mean, as long as there are jobs open and jobs that he's interviewed for, you never know. So that's part of waiting for the dust to settle. I mean, it's and again, the finality of the end of the season, it hurts, but I think on Monday for locker cleanout, it's more of a sigh rather than a blank look on your face. There's a sigh, and then they get into it, and they get a little more reflective. Patrick Ricard talked at length at his locker. He's going to be a free agent. I don't think there's any reason to think he won't be back, because he's hit the market before, and I think there's a very limited number of teams out there that value the skill set that he has brought to the Baltimore Ravens. They just don't play that way.
I think they'd like to come back and have him slobber knock and have
Sure.
Derek. I think they'll bring this thing
Well, whether,
back
yeah.
together as close of a unit as they can, because as Aaron Schatz will point out, I have Mike Tenier coming on this week, Greg Cosell's on this week. Just because they didn't win on Sunday doesn't mean that it's broken.
No. Well, and that's, that's the beauty of it, but that's also the curse of it, right? I mean, it's, you look at their roster, and yeah, we can. I could go down the list right now. They're going to need a backup quarterback. Is Josh Johnson's what, 38 years old now? Is he going to come back again? Or, are you Devin Leary? You drafted last year. He's on the practice squad.
Well, I was going
Running.
to ask you, because this is when they get together down in Jupiter. Eric flies down there and Steve smokes cigars and they sit out on the veranda where the weather's nice. And they literally do go position by position, right? Not just what's on the field, but depth, what we have coming, what's in the draft, where's the free agent pipeline, what does Coquinas think of the pro person? Like, all the way through, they do that. Where in your mind are they going to improve? Because as I look at it, There's a handful of five or six spots. Always pass rush, offensive line, depth, who's going to play guard. I mean, really not a whole lot of different questions than we had last offseason. I mean, last offseason, it was like, who's going to run the ball? And they solved that problem. So, and who's going to be the wide receivers? Well, it's going to be Bateman and Flowers. I mean, you'll say they need another one and an Aguilar or whatever, but they're looking for bit parts here. And I don't think this isn't like a huge team meeting in the offseason about where they're going. They don't have the huge question marks that a lot of other organizations are going to have.
No, I mean I, and that's part of, like I said, it's the beauty of it, but it's also the curse of it, 'cause what do you need to do to break through, right? I mean, what does need to change? You know, what can we do to get over the hump that maybe we overlooked? And I think it's so simplistic to try to do that, you know, to think you want to do that, but you know, it goes back to can't have three turnovers. You can't drop passes. And these weren't things that they did over the course of the season. So how do you anticipate it? I mean, you know, I you and I have talked about John Harbaugh. I see some of the residue from fans talking about the coaching and just hammering certain things here or there. And I'm just like, I mean, what about the coaching staff told Lamar Jackson to turn it over twice? And Lamar would be the first to tell you that, right? What about the coaching staff made you anticipate that Mark Andrews was going to have two bad drops and fumble the ball? I mean, these aren't things that these guys do on a weekly basis, right? So, you know, I'll hear nit I don't even want to say it's nitpicking, because it's not, because I think there's fair questions about not giving the ball to Derrick Henry on second and goal from the three, for example, when they had to settle for the field goal in the first half, or not motioning him out of the backfield on the first 2-point conversion try, or giving him the ball on the 2-point conversion rather than throwing it to Mark Andrews. But again, all of those are judgments based on the result, right? In terms of process, I think most of the decisions that you saw over the course of the game were, you could defend. I mean, it wasn't like six carries, you know, only running the ball how many times with your running backs against Kansas City last year? And they averaged over 7 yards per play. So there wasn't this difficulty moving the football over the course of the night. They didn't punt once,
We always
right?
knew if they that they could move the ball. They moved the hell out of the ball
So
here against Buffalo. We just knew on an icy night, all we talked about last week, turnovers, take care of the ball, and if you don't, you're gonna lose. And they did. I mean, like,
yeah,
literally.
and you can say, okay, well, it was cold or the ball was a little bit slick. Buffalo didn't turn it over. You know, I mean, and that,
Did
you
we
know,
check the air pressure? No, I'm just a little comment.
I'm not picking on Lamar and saying that specifically. I mean, Lamar played a great second half. You know, he was an A minus quarterback in the second half. Problem was with the turnovers, he was a C minus quarterback in the first half. What does that average out to? About a B minus B kind of performance. Well, Josh Allen didn't do anything spectacular. Lamar outperformed him every other statistical way, but like Patrick Mahomes last year, he played a safe, clean football game. And you know, that's the part of it that's kind of tough, because you don't want to coach out the things that make Lamar special. At the same time, in the playoffs specifically, when the elements aren't as ideal, and it's not as though the AFC Championship game last year, you know, it was cold in Baltimore, but it wasn't as cold as it was against Houston the previous week. But you know, there's something to be said of maybe being a little more boring at times in terms of just taking care of the football. I mean, that's kind of what Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have done against the Ravens the last couple years in the playoffs. You know, they were kind of boring and they took care of the ball. They were efficient. You know, they cashed in the red zone. You know, they converted on third down when they needed to. So it's not like they didn't do anything, but those offenses very clearly prioritized playing clean, mistake-free football, and they were able to do it. Whereas the Ravens, for as well as they moved the ball, you know, and even against Kansas City last year, it's not as though they didn't move the ball at all, but they had costly turnovers and costly mistakes. And it's just
Well,
tough
it's even
because,
worse on the stat sheet when they move the ball 80 yards and fumble it at the five, like Zay Flowers. You know, like then it looks on the
not the
stat
five,
sheet,
that was at the 1-foot line.
right?
I mean,
Fair enough, right? But In the case of Russell Wilson driving down on the Ravens and kicking the ball around on Christmas Day at the 5 yard line when our Darius Washington punched it. So like these long drives get completely nullified by the turnover part of it. And even worse, it's say, well, Lamar turned the ball over. Or no, hold on. Lamar fumbled. Well, okay, did he fall on it? No, the other team got the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad. That's a turnover. Now the other team got the ball and they picked it up and they ran 40 yards. You know, like there's a
Right.
whole different level of what a turnover is in one of those kind of games when you say we missed a field goal. Was it a 56-yard field goal as
Sure.
time expired at halftime, or was it a 35-yard field goal with the game on the line? Like I mean, all of that on the statistics chart doesn't mean anything other than who made the most mistakes. Mistakes are the most important part of the statistic chart, especially in these games when they turn not just the field, when they turn the scoreboard.
No question. And again, that was my point about the stat sheet. I mean, they had 23 first downs compared to 20 for Buffalo. Now, Buffalo ran a couple more plays than the Ravens did over the course of the night. Ravens, 7 of 10 on third down. Buffalo, 5 of 11. Fourth down, both teams were 1 for 1. Red zone, Ravens were 2 for 3. I mean, you'd like to cash in, but 2 for 3 is not heinous. You know, it's not as though it's disgraceful or anything
Well,
like
if you don't
that.
kick the ball around, maybe you get there 4 or 5 times. I don't know,
Well,
right?
and that's the thing, and even talking about Lamar's two turnovers in the first half, the fumble was extremely costly. The interception, Buffalo punted, they cost them some field position, but it's the opportunity cost that's lost there, right? You had a chance to score there. That's a possession that is so precious, especially in a playoff game, that you know when that happens, you know it hurts. You know it's not insurmountable, and the fact that this team even had a chance on the final drive until Mark Andrews drops the 2-point conversion. The fact that they had that opportunity, despite being minus 3 in the turnover department, doesn't that speak to how well they played otherwise? You know, so, you know, I'm
Well,
not
still
saying that.
4 downs and 10 yards, and they were averaging 7 yards a play.
Yeah.
So if you take downs away with interceptions or what, or yards away and stupid penalties, and they managed to avoid, I mean, a lot of the sins they had, turnovers was something they didn't have a problem with. Penalties was the thing they had the problem with, right? And defensive breakdowns was something they had the problem with. They didn't have those problems. They had the problem with turnovers in this game,
Yeah.
specifically what outed them.
Although specifically in the penalty department, the Tre'Davious White pass interference call, which I didn't like. You know, I
Tacky.
think,
I don't
right,
like that.
I don't think that was a great call. And that cost the Ravens 4 points there potentially, right? Or maybe seven, you know, if Tyler Bass misses the field goal, because it would have been fourth down. So, but these are the things that happen over the course of 60 minutes. And that right there, okay, that's out of your control. That's why you can't turn the ball over three times, right? I mean, turnovers, you're always going to have some culpability. And let's be clear, on Lamar's fumble, Tyler Linderbaum deserves part of the blame for that. You know, that was a bad snap. It gummed up the timing of the play, and then Lamar should have just tucked it away and lived to fight another play. But he tried to do what Lamar does over the course of a full season. That makes him so special. I mean, think about his play in Cincinnati this year. But where, you know, the play where Sam Hubbard drops to his knees after. Do you remember how that play started out? It was a bad snap at the start of the play. So,
Think about what you could do with your car and my car. We have normal cars out on the road. And think about if you had a Lamborghini or you had a car that went 0 to 120 in 3 seconds, and you had that kind of car, and then you try to drive it in the snow.
yeah.
You know, so you think about him being that kind of car, whatever that. You know, if you're a Ted Nugent fan, a Maserati, if you wish, to get some old rock and roll songs your way. But, you know, he drives fast and out in the snow, you know, he the foot doesn't sl like literally. And there's a
Yeah.
part of that we try to drive a little slower in the
Yeah.
snow. I don't know how you coach that in the locker room in Buffalo on Sunday night because
I
there's only one speed. But the ball's not going to react in the same way. It's just not. I mean, you could
it
see
it's
that.
it it's not, but I also do want to acknowledge, I will say this, and this isn't going to make anyone feel better in the moment, 'cause the sting is still it's raw. You know, it's raw for the players, even if we've just spent some time talking about how they go on to their lives and It's vacation time for these guys
As
now.
they should, by the way,
Yeah,
as they should. They
exactly.
gave an honest effort, including Mark Andrews. Everybody gave a
Absolutely.
real effort and gave them a chance to win.
And what that brings me back to another theme from locker cleanout day. You'll hear this quote a few times from a few different players. There's only going to be one team happy in a couple weeks. I mean, even the team that gets to the Super Bowl and loses is they're going to be more devastated because
I
they
hope it's
were.
not Buffalo at this point. Let them win. Please, dear God, let them win, right?
I hear it at the same time. Then it's Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. I mean, the one
Yeah, the
I
worst part for the Bills, they might win this week and then lose the Super Bowl to
Well,
freaking Buffalo or Washington.
or they might just lose this week,
Not
right? I
Buffalo,
mean,
Washington, Philadelphia, I meant. That's I'm sorry.
oh, okay.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just being
No, but the
stupid.
point you just said it, and I thought that was one of the more interesting elements of the Josh Allen Lamar Jackson showdown narrative, in terms of people kept talking about this being such a big legacy game. I don't think it is unless whoever won goes on to beat Patrick Mahomes. If Buffalo loses on Sunday, how is Josh? Okay, he has a head-to-head win against Lamar in January. I'll hear that to a point, but it's still not getting to the Super Bowl.
Buffalo's not
So,
winning Sunday, right? Right? I
I mean,
mean, I don't
they
know. I
certainly
want them to win,
can
but I don't
win,
think they're
but
going to win.
I mean, this is,
Kansas City's a den of witches. I mean,
I mean, it's
Spagnuolo's going to send the blitz in on and nobody's going to pick it
they're
up,
going to get a
and
call that everyone's going to be mad
ball's
about.
going to go up in the air. And Josh Allen's going to be gunslinging. By the way, the weather's supposed to be okay on Sunday, so
Yeah, but I and I was guilty of this going off on this tangent, but the point I was making about Lamar, one thing I do want to acknowledge, he has played better the last 2 years in the postseason than what we saw earlier in his career. Go back and watch that Buffalo game back in 20, the COVID year, their offense couldn't do anything, right? The offense moved the ball at will on Saturday, or Sunday at times. Buffalo did a good job stopping Derrick Henry in the first half, but when it's all said and done, the Ravens ran for 176 yards. They averaged 5.9 yards per carry. Hearing people say give the ball to Derrick Henry way more than they did, I'll hear that in a couple spots. Like I said, at the goal line, 2-point conversion, I'll hear that. That's constructive criticism there. But I still think that's closer to a nitpick than something egregious because, okay, Derrick Henry, 16 carries for 84 yards. Are you saying Justice Hill shouldn't have carried the ball as much? Well, he had 50 yards on 6 carries. He averaged 8.3 yards per carry. Lamar,
Yeah, he's a change of pace that's still getting you 8 yards on first down.
I heard some people talk about the fact, some people have talked about the fact that they didn't run a whole lot of zone read. I think the elements had something to do with that. That the mesh point stuff, we talk about how you have to be careful with that even with perfect conditions. So
Always.
I think
Like
there is
having their
probably,
season blow up on a mesh point fumble,
yeah.
it would open the door for a guy like me on Monday morning to say, oh my God, this is
Yeah.
why I didn't love the option, because it really was the reason why I didn't love it. And again, I go back to Lamar and him doing things that only he can do that you can't do in the snow and the ice because the car doesn't go at that speed.
Yeah, but that's why I did want to make the point. He's played better the last two postseasons. It's still not full MVP Lamar for 60 minutes. I mean, we saw that for 30 minutes on
There
Sunday
is a
night.
part where the ice nullifies his game because there are things that they're not willing or capable or good for them to do because of ball security in a game like that, right? I mean,
Yeah,
and
well, I
that's
mean, it
not even
doesn't.
saying Lamar gets cold, he doesn't like the cold weather.
Yeah.
Nobody likes any of
I
that.
was just
And
going to
I will
say.
hear that Josh Allen may be a little bit more in tune with it, playing there and practicing there and living there when the leaves change in September. And like, I know all of that. I think my wife's different just being from New Hampshire because she's like from New Hampshire and she 7 degrees in Towson as we take this. So, cold is, it affects everybody and certainly kids from South Florida differently, as well as kids of kids from Venezuela. But there is a point where the game becomes different this time of year, and your team needs to be built differently, and they were. That's what Derrick Henry was all about. That's what running the ball was all about. And to me, they could have run it more. They could have done a little more razzle dazzle, Lamar. I was going to say, I didn't see as much of that. And to your point, you tell me why, because they didn't want to kick the ball around. Because if you do that 24 times a game and you're playing that game, it only takes one. And it only took one bad snap. It only took Lamar trying to make a play one time on their own side of the field, no less, not at the 10-yard line or whatever, where there, it's a real security hazard when you're backed up against your goal line. I'm not going to replay the game a million times. I mean, I'm comfortable that it played out the way it played out in that they did all they could do. They were not the lesser team. They were the team that made bigger mistakes.
I think you should, I mean, you should trademark that right
I
there.
should have a
I
radio
mean,
show.
you know, they in a lot of ways played better than Buffalo, except in one of the most important elements, week in and week out in the National Football League. Go look at the statistics. When you're a minus two or worse, go look at what the winning percentage is, and get back to me. I mean, it's, you know, it's out there. I mean, it's why taking care of the football is so important. Their game plan, you know, to sit here and nitpick about their game plan, they average almost 6 yards a carry collectively. It is a team game. It's not fantasy football to get Derrick Henry a certain number of carries or Lamar to throw it a certain number of times, but they average 6 yards a carry, check. And Lamar Jackson averaged 10.2 yards per attempt passing. So what they did worked. They moved the ball at will. They still had a chance if Mark Andrews catches the ball. How about Mark Andrews doesn't fumble on the penultimate drive? I mean, they probably win that football game if that doesn't happen, let alone bringing it down to the final 2-point play to try to force overtime. So, you know, and everything about the mesh point, you know, I think there's absolute validity to that in terms of why we didn't see that as much. But we also saw, you know, a bad shotgun snap and then Lamar mishandles the ball. I mean, and there was, you know, that wasn't a mesh point issue. That was just, you know, Linderbaum snapped the ball to the left, a little bit too much to the left, and it just, you know, gummed up the play. And
You know,
Lamar
we've
even
known
acknowledged.
all along since they started losing games back in October that they were going to have to go on the road on a, and it's a nightmare thing, right? Like, what's your worst nightmare? 15, snowing a little bit in Buffalo. The only thing be worse is snowing a lot of bit in Philadelphia. In the second quarter of that game when Rams are running around and like, what's going on? Like, man, the snow changes. When it started falling, I was making cocoa in the basement. I said to my wife, man, the boys and I used to get out here and throw the football on a snowy day. It was the most fun ever. And we die because it's everything that's a nightmare professionally for all of these teams that train in the spring, train in the summer. We got the best team. Look at how good looking we get coming off the bus. And then it comes down to, can my center snap on a 15-degree night in the ice? It has nothing to do with what happens in August out there when you're sweating your nuts off, that when it comes time to it, when you have to go to Buffalo. It's different if Miami's the one seed or if it's a dome team. And we went through that with Peyton Manning having to play some of these games. I was up in New England watching Peyton Manning. I had Soakley on last week. They got their ass kicked in the snow up in New England when I first got married 20 years ago. They could never figure that out. Dome teams were different. Good conditions are different. The Ravens would be. I mean, if the Falcons had signed Lamar and could win games and win 14 games and get all the games inside their place, they're Kurt Warner. You know what I mean? That's not what they signed up for. And no matter what, that's going to be this. It was snowing here on Sunday, you know? So, like, yeah, I mean, that's
And that's where,
football.
and that's where that greater point, I'm less moved by that because
I
they've
want a
been the number
quarterback
one.
with big hands. Remember
No, but
that
I'm
one?
just right.
Yeah.
But they've been the number one seed. They've had home field. They played in really cold weather this time of year. 2019 against the Titans. Do you remember how warm it was that night? I mean, it was like 60 degrees in January for that game. So, and they've turned the ball over in all those environments. So really, it goes back to what I mentioned to you as we did some of our more immediate post-game reaction. When you're talking about the nine playoff games that they've played, and that's including the Tyler Huntley game, but I'm just throwing it in there. You know, I could take it out if you want, but the same point prevails. In those nine playoff games, they've turned it over 16 times, and they have three takeaways. So they haven't been nearly as careful with the football as they need as they've needed to be. And you can spin it one of two ways. You'd like your defense to be a little more dynamic to try to create a couple more turnovers that may have helped. You know, and I'm reminded of this because we see this comparison a lot now because Lamar is at the point in his career that Peyton Manning was at this point and had had all this regular season success and been an MVP and all this and had no Super Bowls. Go look at Peyton Manning's numbers during the 2006 postseason when they finally break through. As unremarkable as it gets, but his defense made big plays and running game, it's a collective effort. That's my point. But when you're minus 13 in the turnover department in your nine playoff games, and if you want to take away the Tyler Huntley game, you're minus 12 in the eight Lamar starts in the playoffs since 2018.
I tell you, you're probably 3-5.
You got to change that. I mean, and again, this is where it's a collective effort. It's Lamar is the headliner because he's the quarterback and he's making $52 million. And he's the first to tell you that. I admire and I really respect Lamar's accountability after the game. I mean, he was asked about Andrews, but he said, "Hey, I dropped the ball. I threw a bad interception. I'm tired of doing these things. I got to take better care of the football." I respect the fact that he faced the music and was very critical of himself. He was more critical of himself than fans have been. Some fans want to defend everything he does, and obviously you have the fans who, act like the guy stinks, which is crazy, because the guy's an amazing future Hall of Fame talent. I mean, that's what we're talking about. He's going to be taking another MVP
Well,
in a
much
couple
like
of weeks.
Flacco, he did everything he could do to win the game. Like
I
when I
mean, it's
think about
just,
Flacco in the Cundiff game, right?
but it's a collective effort, right? I mean, over the course of these nine, these eight playoff loss, not all eight losses, but these eight playoff games, they haven't taken the ball away very much on defense, even though the defense has been the much better side of the ball overall. It hasn't been dynamic. You think back to 2000, that defense made dynamic plays. The 2012 defense, it wasn't nearly as good, especially in the regular
Well, the
season.
2000 Super
They
Bowl was
made,
won on defensive takeaways,
well,
period,
it,
right?
but even in 2012, with, and obviously the headliner was Flacco doing what he did. Go look at what that defense did. Even in the Denver game where they gave up points, they also were dynamic. Corey Graham had two picks of Peyton Manning, for example. Jacoby Jones, doing the things that he did from a special team standpoint. So you need every
And
element to
Justin Tucker
contribute.
doing things from a special team
Right.
standpoint,
You
kicks.
you need all three phases to contribute. And what we've seen over the course of this Lamar era is an offense that's severely underperformed, primarily because of turnovers. A defense that's played well in holding the opposition down, however, not necessarily being dynamic enough to swing the win probability. A turnover in the second half at some point, forcing John or Josh Allen into a mistake or stripping the ball from one of their backs. Man, that really would have gone a long way towards helping this team win. It didn't happen, and it's a credit to Buffalo. They took care of the ball. A big special teams play. Instead, they had the critical Chris Board holding penalty on a kick return. Tucker didn't miss any kicks. That was good. But you just look at it. Last year wasn't just Lamar. Zay Flowers with the mistakes that he made. Obviously, Mark Andrews with what happened. Multiple plays on Sunday night. You need your stars to be stars. And unfortunately for the Ravens, they haven't always gotten that in this era, and that's why they have fallen short in January. But you have a window that is wide open with a 28-year-old quarterback who's about to become a three-time NFL MVP. He has played better in the postseason the last couple of years than he did earlier in his career. So you're hoping that there's a trajectory there that is continuing to go up, right? I mean, you're hoping that you break through. There's really no other choice here. You're not moving on from Lamar Jackson. You'd be insane to do it. So the hope is that your amazing MVP quarterback, who has been the best player in the NFL in the regular season the last couple of years, continues to mature, continues to grow. The players around him continue to mature, continue to grow, and you break through. It's not any more complex than that. I mean, the other team tries too. And unfortunately, the Ravens have been on the wrong side of that. And going to Buffalo and losing, there's no shame in it. This wasn't, if they had lost to Pittsburgh last week, that's where we would have been. To me, that's where we would have been talking. Is John Harbaugh the right guy for this? Do they need to make other changes? What the heck's going on here? How can you lose to a Pittsburgh team that's clearly not as good as you? We could sit here and debate whether the Ravens were the better team than Buffalo. I think, roster wise, top to bottom, I'd take the Ravens roster over Buffalo's, but this isn't the best team in the league losing to the worst team in the league or losing to the 16th best team in the league. These were two top five teams in my mind, and the one who had the home field advantage and the one who had a quarterback that didn't turn the ball over compared to the MVP quarterback who turned it over a couple times, and they didn't have one of their other star players turn it over and drop two passes in the way that Mark Andrews did. You know, I mean, it's someone was going to be disappointed at the end of the day on Sunday night, and unfortunately, it's the Ravens. But I don't think that's something that warrants overreacting or doing something rash, right? I don't think you want to be hasty here in terms of making these, calling for wholesale changes for something that
They're a top three
wasn't broken.
organization in the league at this point. Like I there, you know, like it's an operation that isn't broken that just didn't
Everyone wants to break
endure
through.
Buffalo. Yeah. I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, everyone wants to break through. And again, that doesn't mean they're
25
beyond
other teams and general managers that would take their roster right now. 25, maybe 30.
I was going to say it might be more like 28, right? I mean, that's
Yeah.
what we're talking about right now. So, and no one would take, Patrick Mahomes over Lamar. Okay, I'll hear that because of what he's done in January. He's Tom Brady, but you know what? Not skill set wise, but Lamar's been Peyton Manning of this era. I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. So Peyton Manning eventually broke through, and that's where you just have to go back to the drawing board and tweak and try to
Drew
augment.
Brees
And
won, Aaron Rodgers won, Ben Roethlisberger won, Joe Flacco won.
most,
Like, and so you say Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom, they all
they all
won.
won. And
Somebody.
those guys you all mentioned, they won once. Joe Flacco once. Ben Roethlisberger twice. I'll give that to Ben.
Brett Favre.
Peyton Manning won two, but was he directly responsible
Dude,
for either of
I
those?
didn't even
No.
mention Eli, and he's up for Hall of Fame in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I have Howard Balzer on this week, so we'll be talking some Hall of Fame. Let's
It's hard
wrap
to
it. We got
do.
to talk baseball, man. I mean, it's baseball season now officially, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll leave it at this. It's really, really hard to do. It doesn't excuse anyone. It doesn't make anyone feel better. I get all of that, but
Brandon
let's all.
Stokely held the Super Bowl ticket up, and he's like, I played 15 years, twice it happened. I played with Peyton Manning and Ray Lewis, and it only happened. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's a guy that hung around forever and had two chances at it, right?
Yeah, Ed Reed is one of the greatest football players in the history of the league. He finally got one in his last year with the Ravens, his next last year in the NFL. It's
Well,
really
Jerome
hard to
Bettis,
do.
same thing, right? There's a lot of
Yep.
people that takes forever, right? All right, including Earl Morrill. That is the moral of the story. That would even the moral of the story would be Peyton Manning winning at the end of the end of the end, and Tom Brady going to Tampa and winning too, which is another thing altogether. Although I think drugs and air were involved there. Luke Jones is here as well as TB12 and avocado ice cream, though. That's what makes me look so young is the avocado ice cream. It's all that I'm eating. And the crab cakes. Maryland Crab Cake Tour's back out on the road. A cup of Super Bowl coming to your hometown. We're going to be in Costas. We're going to be at Fadley's. We're going to be at Coco's. We're going to be at State Fair. We're going to be at Cooper's North. Patrick Russell doesn't know it yet, but we're coming. And at some point, probably today, because it's a little snowy out and cold out, I will cancel my New Orleans reservations. You sure you don't want to go, Luke? I mean, I was thinking, like, before I canceled Kansas City, my wife's like, you sure you just don't want to go and get the barbecue and hang out? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking, like, wouldn't be a bad time, you know? He is Luke. I am Nestor. I promise we'll start talking baseball at some point, and then you'll really hate us. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive. Go to the website, read our stuff too.